Hello and welcome to Gin and Spooks. I'm Laura.
I'm Emma.
And what are we talking about today, Emma?
Haunted pubs.
We always go way or woo or something after we announce an episode. I don't know why.
Sound like drunken men, you know, after a football match.
But I'm sure last week's episode when we did witches, we both went wee or woo or something. Anyway, what are you drinking today, Emma?
Stronger dark fruits.
Yeah. My immediate response to that in my head was, "Wee."
What are you drinking?
I've got one of my favourite Aldi ciders, and it's a rhubarb one. Because, you know,
fancy.
I know, I think I love rhubarb because last week I was drinking rhubarb gin, which is my favourite, and now I'm drinking a rhubarb and pear cider, which is like my favourite. So, yeah, no cocktails this week. Not that we normally drink cocktails because of lockdown, but.
I know. Thanks, Bozza.
I know. So, shall we get started?
We shall.
To start us off, I've got a few morbid / spooky pub names from across the UK. Okay. I've got a little list. Okay. So, the first one is called the Hatchet Inn, and it's in Bristol. So, the building itself dates from 1606. The name is thought to originate from the axes and hatchets that the local woodsmen used to use in the nearby Clifton Woods. And the pub is rumoured to have human skin embedded in the front door.
No.
Oh. Yes. I mean, okay. Just a rumour, but you know. So the next one is the Three-Legged Mare in York. Now, this one's named after a type of gallows used in York from the 14th century, which consists of a wooden triangle standing on three wooden pillars, and it allowed several criminals to be hanged at once. So, because it's a triangle, you could have three people hanged at the same time on it.
Oh, okay. Fancy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not fancy at all.
Efficient, I think.
Yeah. That was the word I was looking for.
Okay, so in London, there's a pub called the Hung, Drawn and Quartered. This is named after its close proximity to Tower Hill, where many public executions took place until the final beheading in 1747. Do you remember doing about being hanged, drawn and quartered at school?
Yeah, it wasn't a fun time learning that.
I liked this kind of stuff, you know. I loved history. I don't know why I didn't do history at uni, but you know. So for those of you who don't know, when you're hanged, drawn and quartered, it was a statutory penalty in England for men convicted of high treason, or women, I suppose. I think only the men committed treason back then. The women would just be burnt for being a witch.
Convenient, if you refer back to our previous episode on witches.
So the person that had been accused of treason would be hanged almost to the point of death. They then would have their dick and balls chopped off. They would be disemboweled, beheaded. The remains were chopped into four, and they would then be displayed in prominent places across the country as a warning. I remember learning about how on Tower Bridge they used to have people's heads on like spears just to warn
people. Pikes.
Yeah. So this pub is named after that.
Oh, would you rather be beheaded or hung, drawn and quartered?
Beheaded.
Don't know. Just for the shits and gigs, I'll just go with hung, drawn and quartered.
You want your tits displayed across the country?
No, because that is already hurting my boobs. I'd definitely just be beheaded, but
So the next pub is called The Quiet Woman, and it's actually in Derbyshire, which is not far from here. So once lockdown's over, we'll go for a drink.
That is one of my pubs I'm going to talk about.
Is it? Is it? Yeah. I will not talk about that one then. I'll leave that for you.
Just skip.
Skip that. But we need to go for a drink there once it's open.
We do, actually.
Okay, so my last one is my favourite one, and it's called The Bucket of Blood in Cornwall. Don't tell me this is your other one.
No. See, if it wasn't in Cornwall, I'd be like, yeah, let's go. Let's go all the way there.
Yeah. So this one it dates back to the 18th century, maybe older. So the rumour has it that a landlord once pulled up a bucket of blood from the nearby well, and they then investigated and found that a murdered smuggler's body had been mutilated and then dropped into the well.
Oh.
Yeah. However, there's a load of tin mining in the area, so it could just be red water from the runoff from the tin, which kind of ruins that theory a bit. I'd like to think that they pulled up a bucket of blood because that's a better story.
I mean, insert really terrible Scottish accent, but there's been a murder.
A murder.
I really can't. I was like, no, nope, not happening.
But anytime anyone says murder in a Scottish accent, for some reason it reminds me of Hot Fuzz, when it's not even a Scottish accent, but they're like, murder, 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 change the fucking record or whatever it is.
Leslie Tedder was fucking murdered.
It's like,
yep.
Oh yeah, she just miraculously like fell onto her like shears, and that's the thing.
My favourite one though is when the guy falls onto the spire at the Model Village and he's like, this really hurts.
Oh my god, I don't know why, but my jaw hurts whenever I see that, and I'm like, yeah. Nope.
Cool, so that was my little list. I feel like this is a good transition into your pub story about the quiet woman.
Yes, I shall talk about it. I mean, it's not very long, but we'll go with it. We'll go. The Quiet Woman is located in Earl Sterndale, Buxton, Derbyshire. Earl Sterndale Village in the Derbyshire Peak District is a farming village to the south of Buxton in the highest reaches of the limestone area of the peak, near to the Young River Dove. Earl Sterndale is surrounded by a number of farmsteads called granges, a reminder from the Middle Ages when much of this land was owned by Basingwork Abbey, and the granges were where monks lived and worked the fields. The village inn, which is over 400 years old, has an unusual name, the Quiet Woman. The pub sign depicts a headless woman with the words, soft words turneth away wrath. It is thought to depict one nagging wife known as Chattering Charteress. A funny name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Legend. I'll start that bit again. Legend. The legend says that the woman was a former landlord's wife. The story goes that her husband lost control one day and cut her head off to the approval of the villagers. What another version of the... I know. Again, men ain't shit. Just sliding it in there. Another version of the story is a woman called Juthware, who was decapitated in a nearby church by a brother. Her body picked up a severed head and placed it upon the altar before finally dying. I just got chills. Yeah. Okay, that's all I got on the Quiet Woman. But
that's, I love that story. Like,
with my little legend.
Legend. Yeah. I love that story, and I've probably said this about three times already in this recording, but that's one of the first pubs I want to go to when we can.
I'm definitely like up for visiting like haunted pubs, because there is another one, and I think I can't remember where it's actually located, but I can find if I look it up again. But it's called The Bull, and basically they've actually caught like actual videos of recordings of like freaky shit happening, and people have like mentioned it in the newspapers and stuff, that like they've seen glasses like been smashed and all this.
Yeah,
so it's proper like freaky, and I tried to like watch it the other day, but I was getting a bit scared, so I was like, I'm gonna stop.
That's the sign of a good ghost video, isn't it? It's like, I'm getting a bit scared now, so I'm gonna turn this off.
I know.
Yeah, cool. Should I go next? Is it my turn now?
You can go next, yes.
So mine comes with a bit of a history lesson as well.
Okay.
So I've actually been to this pub already, and the pub / club / bar, whatever you want to call it, that I've chosen, it's called the Banshee Labyrinth, and it's in Edinburgh.
Oh, okay. I like the sound of this.
Yeah. So it's just off the Royal Mile, which is the big famous road that goes up to the castle in Edinburgh, like where the Fringe Festival is and stuff. So the Banshee Labyrinth describes itself as a haunted themed spot with bars, a cinema, live bands and music nights ranging from metal to punk and rave. So our kind of place. It has 7 rooms, including 3 bars, a pool table room, gig room and a 50-seater cinema. The cinema is actually really cool because me and Eamon went for my birthday a couple of years ago, and we were quite drunk, and then I just sat in there watching Rick and Morty with the vodka and Coke, like... But the amount of people they must have falling asleep in there, unreal, because it's just quite cozy. Anyway, it claims to be Scotland's most haunted pub, with a variety of ghosts, and there's even rumours that a coven of witches once sealed demonic force in a circle in the ground above one of the underground rooms. So half of the club used to be part of the underground Southbridge vaults, and then the front half used to be home to a guy called Lord Nicol Edwards. So I'm going to start with talking about the Southbridge Vaults. They are a series of chambers that are formed in the 19 arches of the Southbridge in Edinburgh. This bridge was completed in 1788. So imagine, like, you know, the big bridges with the big metal arches. It's kind of, it's one of those bridges. However, because Edinburgh is on, like, it's essentially just loads of little hills and valleys and hills. So there's quite a lot of bridges, but the bridges, you can't tell you're on a bridge because they're so built up on either side. So these metal arches, I don't even know if they're metal, I'm just saying metal, but these arches in the bridge are completely blocked off on the other side because there's buildings and walls and stuff there. So this is what's created the vaults. So for around 30 years, these vaults were used to house taverns and workshops for cobblers and tradesmen and other merchants like that. The conditions in the vaults deteriorated quite quickly, mostly due to poor airflow, poor air quality and the damp. So most of the businesses left in the 1820s, but an excavation of the vaults in 1985 showed evidence that the poorest people of Edinburgh lived here after the businesses left. So like homeless people, thieves, smugglers, those kinds of people moved in there. Excavations found plates, medicine bottles, toys and other signs of human habitation when they would like dig in the vaults out again, like an excavation thing. It was a hotspot of criminal activity during this time. There was a lot of illegal gambling taverns, illegal whiskey distilleries. Rumour even has it that body snatchers would store corpses in there around that time. Also, little fact about the South Bridge itself. So the first person to cross the bridge did so in a coffin. Promises had been made that the oldest resident of the area could be the first person to cross that bridge when it was built, but she died just before it happened. But because she was the wife to someone quite important, they still allowed her to be the first person to cross the bridge, but just in her coffin. So all the residents then believed the bridge was cursed because the first person to go over it was dead.
I mean, I understand their thought process there.
Yeah, same. Quick pause whilst I open a can.
Fine.
I think you can get tours of the vaults nowadays, that they're a tourist attraction. Okay. But they're kind of underground, so they're cut off from the public unless you're on a guided tour. And there's quite a lot of haunting ghost rumours about stories about the vaults themselves, but that's not what we're talking about. So the front half of Banshee Labyrinth, it was once home to a guy called Lord Nicol Edwards. He was one of the richest men in Edinburgh at the time, and he was a strong believer in witchcraft because he was buddies with King James I/6, our friend from the last episode.
Oh wow.
Yeah, his house was around before the vaults were built. He supposedly beat and tortured innocent women in the basement of his house whilst they were on trial for witchcraft. So he'd like look after them whilst they were on trial and then just beat them. He also supposedly banished his wife to a deserted island because she shouted to him from a window whilst he was in the street. So
what a drama.
Yeah, like not, he sounds like a prick. That's all I could really find on him. So the front half is that house, a house of torture. And the back half is where all the homeless degenerates used to live. And you can tell actually when you go in the front half, the ceilings are like normal height. And then you go it down into the caverns at the back and it's all archways and quite low. And I've got a really cool photo of Eamon sitting in there that looks a bit haunted. I'll send it to you later. And I'll put it on the Instagram. You know what? Eamon's face can be on our Instagram for this episode. That's a bit creepy.
Yeah, fuck it. Do it.
It doesn't look that freaky at first, but zoom in on his eyes.
Oh, do I have to?
Yeah. It's not even that freaky, and it's definitely just a camera trick. But this place is seriously haunted.
Probably going to spook me out, isn't it?
I don't know.
I mean, it's already creeping me out. Ugh, it's creeping me out. I don't know why.
Because it's like, he's clearly got his eyes closed, but then...
Yeah, I don't know why. It's so weird. I don't like it.
Those eyes kind of don't look like his almost. It's strange.
I mean, that was already giving me vibes anyway. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. So the Banshee Labyrinth, one of Scotland's most haunted pubs. Unattended drinks mysteriously fly off tables, smashing into walls. Staff refuse to close up on their own. You get the feeling of being watched and seeing movement out the corner of your eye when there's no one there. And they actually have a few ghosts that they've kind of named. So the first one is Molly. Customers regularly ask the staff why there's a little girl wandering around the bar.
Oh no, stop.
She is.
Why does it have to involve kids?
I know, they're the worst. So apparently, a 6-year-old girl called Molly is thought to have disappeared in the area at around 1841 when work was being done to the property on the chimney where it is rumoured her body was found. When work was being done on the chimney, a child's shoe fell out with the name Molly written on it.
Oh no, stop. Oh, proper hate. Oh, spooky stuff, which involves kids.
Yeah. Okay. Next, you have a guy called The Watcher, and he is...
Oh, God.
He's literally just a creep. He's a man in a long black coat with a tricorn hat. He's been seen by quite a lot of people. He wears large boots and is thought to be the source of phantom footsteps heard on the property. And he has no facial features whatsoever.
Oh, stop it. Oh, and my God.
The interesting thing about him is, though, he's also, or a similar person is also seen in Bannerman's Bar, which is in the same area, and another pub called Whistlebinkies, which is on the same road. At Bannerman's Bar, he's called Mr. Boots. And yeah, and Whistlebinkies is on the same street. So it's thought to believe that same dude is kind of haunting the whole of that underground structure along that area, because the same ghost is seen in multiple places. Which I think is really cool, even if he just sounds like a giant creep.
He's really cool, but oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, tell him to fuck off, I would.
Stop looking at me. Okay. Then you've got old Jock. He likes to hang around in the ladies' toilets.
No.
Yeah. So he...
I'm never ever going to this place with you, ever. If we suddenly want to go to Edinburgh, I'm not going into the toilet.
Honestly, Edinburgh is my favourite place in the world. When I went to the toilet here, it was fine, like nothing. But apparently he likes to slam doors. He turns the dryers on and off. He's very fond of pretty young girls. And many women report seeing his shadow looming over the doorway and feeling the breath on the back of their necks. And some have even claimed to be attacked by him.
Right, no. Flat out refusing. I feel super creeped out right now because I've got my back to the door. And I'm
so sorry.
And you're like, oh, he likes pretty young girls. I'm not saying I'm pretty, I'm just saying I'm young. Don't like this.
Now, this is the last one.
Is this going to freak me out? Do I have to, like, turn my back away? Know.
So
you know what? I'm just gonna relocate because I feel a bit safer. Fuck this
I'm
shit.
I'm so sorry.
Proper freak me out, and I don't even know why. Carry on, I'm listening.
Okay, so the banshee. First things first, banshees are female spirits originating in Irish folklore. They are known to herald the death of a family member, usually by wailing or shrieking. Real Life Ghost Stories podcast actually have an incredible episode on banshees, so I'm not going to go into too much detail on banshees in general because Emma and Dan do it so well that I'll just go and listen to their podcast if anyone's interested in banshees. So when workers were renovating one area of the vaults to turn it into storage for the pub, a woman in a long grey dress with long hair and hands covering her face appeared. When the workman asked who she was and how she got in there and if she needed any help, she started sobbing. This turned into a shriek and a blood-curdling howl, causing the workmen that were questioning her to black out. When he came to, she was gone. And they searched for her in the vaults to try and find out where she'd gone. When he got home after his working day was done, he found out that a member of his family had died.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and banshees are obviously, like I said, known to herald the death of a family member. She hasn't been seen in the vault since. However, this is who the pub is named after. But they say singing can often be heard in the blackness of the tunnels.
Oh, my God. I mean, she wasn't as spooky as
Molly.
Lovely old Jock.
Oh, Jock. Oh.
Yeah. I just want to go to the bathroom in peace, you know.
Let me piss in peace.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those are the lovely paranormal inhabitants of the Banshee Labyrinth. Edinburgh is one of my favourite places in the world, and I'm hoping our podcast travels take us there again one day and we can go to the Banshee Labyrinth.
I hope so. I mean, I've never been to Edinburgh. I've been to Glasgow, just not Edinburgh. So that would definitely be nice, a nice experience. But I'm also not going to the bathroom there. I'll just pee on the pee outside.
Yeah.
100%. If I see something, I'm out of there. You know, I'm definitely spooked.
Good.
Oh, that definitely worked. Okay, so my second and last pub I'm going to speak about is called the Pilchard Inn, which is South Devon. So it's not far from the one that you mentioned in Cornwall.
The Bucket of Blood.
So the early history of the island is unclear.
However, it is mentioned in early records and on maps as St. Michael's Island. Later, the name changed to Borough Island, eventually being corrupted to Burr Island. So I don't even know if I'm saying that right. Oh, well. Berg Island is located off the Devon coast, facing Big Bury on sea. The island is linked to the mainland by a sandbar. It is believed a monastery was established on the island, most of the remains of which may lie beneath the current hotel. Mm-hmm. The ancient Pilchard Inn may have started life as the guest lodgings for the monastery. A small, perhaps transient population of fishermen occupied the island following the dissolution of the monastery. There are the remains of a chapel atop the island, which later became a hewer's hut, a place where fishermen would make a hue and cry call to inform other fishermen of shoals of pilchards. During this period, smuggling, wrecking, and piracy were common, benefiting from a natural barrier for half the day. It is the ghost of Tom Crocker that haunts this little island. Little is known of Tom except that he was a notorious smuggler who made Berg Island his base and the Pilchard Inn his favourite haunt. Folklore tells us that after a lengthy career, Tom was shot dead by a revenue man on the 14th of August in the porch of the Pilchard Inn. His ghost is said to haunt the island every year on the anniversary of his death. It is said that his restless ghost has been sighted outside the Pilchard Inn and also wandering aimlessly on the shores of Berg Island.
Oh, that would freak me out if you... I mean, places in the dark freak me out anyway, but looking out onto a beach when there's so much open space and seeing like a ghostly figure walking around in the dark, ooh.
I know, yeah. But that was the short story of the Pilchard Inn.
I love it. Dear listeners, if you could somehow make this podcast make enough money so that we could quit our jobs and travel drinking in all these haunted pubs, then it would be very much appreciated. I mean, we'd obviously be doing it for you to bring you all the content.
I'm watching Emma get fucking freaked out when she's got her back to a door.
Yeah, I mean, saying that, I know we'd visit all these places in the day. And did you say that dude only haunts on the anniversary of his death?
Yeah, so unless we're planning, if we go on his actual death anniversary, then one, we're stupid. Two, I think we should do it.
I was about to say, let's be honest, we're not going to do that, are we? We're going to be like, oh, no.
I think we should do it and then instantly regret it, which I'm okay with.
Yeah. Out of all the ghosts we've talked about, which one would freak you out the most if you bumped into them?
The one in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, the one in the bathroom and the other guy that you mentioned.
The watcher one, yeah.
Yeah, because those are the two things that would really like freak me out, because I like to have, you know, a piss or whatever in peace.
Yeah.
I don't want, you know, to be disturbed. And then also, I don't really want anyone to, like, breathe on the back of my neck.
Oh, no. Can you imagine you're just having a wee and you feel a breath on the back of your neck?
Exactly.
But then is it just the wind? Is it just drafty toilets? Drafty toilets? I don't know.
Potentially.
I can't remember.
Then also, if you know the history of, like, the pub, you'd already be freaked out. Like, I would be freaked out before I even got in there. And then I'd be like... okay, I'm not going to have a drink that's going to make me want to have a wee, because I'm definitely not going to go for a wee in there.
Yeah, I think I would be most freaked out by the banshee, because apparently the noise they make is absolutely horrendous, and because I know what they mean when they appear to you.
Yeah.
I'd be scared about who was going to die.
I think I'd be like, I think the watcher and the old jock would be the one that I like is on my is on the top of my list, but I still wouldn't want to be, I basically wouldn't want to like be haunted by anything. I'd be like, no, thank you.
Not today.
Not today, Satan, not today.
Nope. Oh, one thing we didn't talk about at the beginning. Do you believe in ghosts?
Oh, yes, I 100% believe in them.
I don't know, you know. I know you've had experiences, but we're going to save those for another episode.
Yeah.
I don't believe in them, but I don't not believe in them. I've not had enough definitive experiences myself to believe in ghosts, but the amount of people out there that say they've had experiences, there's got to be something behind it. But my rational little scientific brain is not going to believe it until it happens to me. So me and Eamon at the moment are going through a phase of watching. There's this local ghost hunters group that live do Facebook lives all the time because this guy has loads of haunted, supposedly haunted artifacts in his room, and he has a spirit box. So the
why the fuck would you have him in your room?
Well, he's got a special room in his house for it, and so we regularly watch his Facebook lives where he's got one of those spirit boxes that the spirits can use to talk, not one of the ones that scans the radio channels, one that's just there, and yeah. loads of words come through it every time, and sometimes more often than not, the words are actually corresponding to what he's saying, as if these spirits are replying. And last night, one of them just went, "Let me rest." And it really made me laugh. I was like, "Come on now, lad, this ghost does not want to be talking to you. Let it go." But even though I've definitely seen some things on this live stream that if I wasn't a bit skeptical, would be like, "Oh my God, ghosts exist." But because I'm not there and I'm not going, I can't check that there's not someone putting the words through the, I don't know what I think. But I think because I'm not there and I'm not experiencing it myself, I'm still like, he could be moving that tablecloth with a bit of string. Like,
yeah. You know? I think with me, because I believe it so much, is because like my very first experience happened when I was so young.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like stuck with me, because it's like when you're a kid, it's quite traumatic because you're not really sure if you've just imagined what you've just seen or if it's actually real.
Yeah.
But it happened when I was like 8. So it kind of just stuck with me throughout my whole childhood. And, you know, you do, I definitely do believe in it. And then obviously I had another happening, I guess.
I think some people are more susceptible.
When I was in uni.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people are more susceptible than others, and I'm clearly, I always liked to think I was open to everything, but clearly my brain is too like, nah, that's just the wind. Nah, that's just science. I don't know. But then I really want to believe.
I think the worst bit, I think the worst bit for me as well, like, sorry, my cats are just pissing about. I think the worst thing for me on both occasions was that I wasn't on my own, as in like, I had someone else in the room with me when I was asleep and they were asleep.
Yeah.
And both times I've been the only one to wake up and see it.
Yeah.
So it kind of freaks me out, because obviously I've like woken up the other person to be like, can you see that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Or is it just me like freaking out or whatever? And they've just gone, just go back to sleep, it'll be fine.
Yeah, see, I'm the one that's like, I'll just go back to sleep, because there's been if I think about it, there's been a couple of times, like I remember at uni waking up and being convinced there was someone at the end of my bed, like a shadow, not a full person, like an actual shadow. But then I kind of but then it went, and in my head I was like, I was just half asleep, so I've just written it off as being that. Then at uni, I remember again in second year, our kitchen joined on to our living room. Our living room was essentially a conservatory off the kitchen. So it was all one big room. And I was sitting in the living room and my friend Lisa was standing in the kitchen. And I was talking to Lisa, and all of a sudden I looked behind her and then looked again like a double take, because I thought I saw someone there, but there wasn't there. And Lisa's face just absolutely dropped, and she was like, what's behind me? Because of the way I'd kind of looked, and it spooked us both out. But again, that was just, I don't know if that's just my peripheral vision seeing things, or if it's just lighting, whether anyone was there or not. I don't know. So I still don't know. I think
I've definitely like mistaken, like thinking I've seen something in the corner of my eye and stuff. And it's kind of like spooked me out, because I'm like, you know, sometimes I do feel like, you know, people, like I'm being watched or whatever, and it, you know, freaks me out. So I'm just like, don't really like going in that room. You know, don't feel safe or whatever. But
honestly, I think my brain is I'm not scared of spiders anymore, because my brain was like, the quicker you get rid of it, the quicker you won't be scared anymore. I think my brain is like, if you can explain it in a normal way, like, it's just, I don't know, it's just, you're still half asleep, you're still dreaming, it's nothing, it's just a play catching the light weirdly or something, if my brain can write it off as something explainable like that, then I'm not scared of it anymore, because my imagination is so good. And if I just gave in to everything I saw in the dark, I would never sleep, because it would just terrify me. So I think my brain's just, it's just like, no, nothing to be scared of, you're just being a dick.
yeah I mean, I definitely like obviously believe in that stuff a bit too much, but I think that's just because of like my past experiences.
Yeah, and which also is understandable.
Sometimes I think like if you see something, it could be like, you know, like you're anxious about something, so it has like some sort of like hidden meaning.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't like go too deep into it.
Yeah,
but yes, it's just like really creepy because it's like, oh, you don't really feel safe because, you know, something's there and it's not really in your control.
Yeah.
But
yeah. There's one of the theories of parapsychology is that everything, all the illusions and hallucinations and potentially paranormal things people see are literally just a creation of everyone's individual brains. So if you're really stressed and there's no other way of releasing it, you might all of a sudden find yourself with a poltergeist, but that's just your stressed energy.
Yeah.
Not necessarily making shit fly off walls and stuff, but almost hallucinating or forgetting that you'd move something and stuff like that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that as well. Like, it definitely, like, I think if you suffer from anxiety or any like mental illness like that, I think it definitely impacts how your brain works. So you think you're seeing stuff, or you know, you think like things are moving on their own and all that, and it definitely freaks you out. And then you realize that it doesn't happen when you're calm and you're quite happy in yourself.
Yeah,
so 100% agree with that.
That's like, I think all the cases of exorcisms and stuff that you hear about, like Annalise Michelle, which we'll probably do an episode on exorcisms actually.
Yes, we definitely have to.
Personally, I'm not going to go into too much detail now because if we're going to do an episode on them, personally, I think that is just untreated mental illness.
I was just going to say, like, quickly as well, in terms of the exorcisms and stuff, like, most of the things that they're describing are like forms of, like, schizophrenia. Or like, you know, multiple personality disorder and all that jazz.
Yeah.
So, but I won't, obviously.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in another episode.
Yeah. But no, I do definitely believe in spirits, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because they can be good and there can be bad ones. So
if people, you know, when people say that, I think it's a coping method with grieving as well, that they believe their loved one visits them like as a butterfly or a ladybird or a robin or whatever.
Yeah.
And if that's a way of them grieving and they genuinely believe that, then I do not begrudge them that one bit, that it's a lovely way to help themselves through the grieving process.
I mean, I definitely had like a similar experience like that, but it was more like in a dream. Yeah. So basically I was unable to attend a funeral for my great nan because I can't remember what reason, but I wasn't able to make it. So I was a bit upset when I found out that she passed away because I couldn't say goodbye.
Yeah.
And I was like, and that night when I got told, this was a couple of years back, I went to bed and then she actually visited me in my sleep.
Oh.
Well, what I thought was her.
Yeah.
And it was like so vivid and it felt so real to me. And then we were having, I can't remember what we were talking about, but we're having a nice chat and she was making sure that I was okay and that she's gonna be okay and that you know, and she's happy and stuff, and she said like goodbye and then see, I've never,
whether that was your brain or that genuinely happened, it's a lovely thing to have happened.
Because like I get so like worked up if, like, you know, if something happens, especially like what's happening in the world now, if something happens and I'm not able to say goodbye to someone, I get really bothered about that because it's important to say goodbye to people.
It's a form of closure, isn't it, that helps.
It was definitely a nice experience, and I felt like, you know, some people would be like proper like freaked out about it, but I woke up and I felt I felt better because
that's nice, that's, you know, awesome.
I managed to say what I wanted to say even though I hadn't seen her in like years before she passed away. It was really weird. I don't know why I was so affected by it, but I was.
I am. Just after, you know, when Robin Williams died. Just after he died, he came to me in a dream and gave me a big hug and said goodbye. I've never met Robin Williams.
Oh, that's so cute, though.
It was really weird. I woke up and I was like, oh, that was so nice. I got to say goodbye. He came to see me. And then I was like, what? Why? Why me? Why did my brain Why did my brain feel the need to process saying goodbye to Robin Williams? And two, if that was actually him visiting, why the hell did he visit me? Like, I wasn't distraught about his death or anything. It was really sad because he was like the genie in Aladdin and in Jumanji, and I grew up with him, and he was... Yeah. Have you ever seen Jack as well, that when he looks like he's a fully grown man, but he's actually a kid, like he ages that much quicker?
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's quite good. I'd recommend it. but I'm just Robin Williams.
Of all the people as well.
I know. I thought it would be someone from my favourite band that would do that, that would mean a celebrity that meant a lot to me would be someone from a band. But no, Robin Williams.
To be fair, though, I had like a dream, I think, a couple of nights back where I like bumped into Henry Cavill and we hit it off. Mm-hmm. Don't know why, and then we started playing World of Warcraft together.
Oh, that's cute.
Because he's a big nerd. I don't know why, I just did.
So if he now dies, at least you've got that memory with him.
Yeah, kind of wish that was true, you know. Could have done with a nice nerdy date.
Yeah. Hopefully once lockdown's over, you can get back on the nerdy dating.
Hopefully, but yeah. The brain is a wonderful, wonderful place, but it's also really bad at the same time, depending on how you're feeling.
I love brains.
Like, you know what? I'm just going to pop this person in here, see what they do, you know, throw a little bit of magic in there. It's like, the fuck? I mean, it doesn't really help that I currently have Toothless, right? He's playing with a toy because he's managed to drag it half into my room. And instead of going around the gap in the door, is pushing the door open. So it's freaking me out a little bit. And all I can see is little paws coming underneath the door.
It's a ghost.
My little hands.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah. You know, I'm doing a podcast and then they start going, now's my time to shine. Oh, what's today's lesson, actually?
Today's lesson is don't get drunk and wander the Edinburgh vaults alone, because you may bump into some unsightly people. Thank you for listening to this episode of Gin and Spooks. We hope we gave you the heebie-jeebies, and I hope you can't sleep tonight. Please head to our Instagram, which is at Gin and Spooks, for photos of some of the things we've talked about in the episode, and keep you up to date on episode details and stuff there as well. We also have a blog, which is ginandspooks.wordpress.com. Again, all the photos and references and any other extra tidbits will be popped on there.
If you have any ghost stories of your own or any drink suggestions, please email them over to us at ginandspooks@gmail.com, or send us a direct message on Instagram, or even join our Facebook group, which is Gin and Spooks.
The Facebook group, I forgot we have that now.
I know. Anyway. Thanks for listening.